It's extremely tense. They are now waiting for two key words, although campaign...
February 27th, 1979, the night of Chicago's mayoral primary. The grainy black and white video shows Democrat Jane Byrne doing what nobody really expected. She's winning.
Pretty close to winning.
Beating the whole damn machine single-handed.
Beating the whole damn machine single-handedly, Byrne says, half to the camera, half to herself, in proud disbelief. But before she beat Chicago's Democratic political establishment, Byrne was a part of it. She was born in the city she would later run as Jane Margaret Burke on May 24, 1934. Byrne didn't get into politics until volunteering with John F. Kennedy's presidential campaign after the death of her first husband, a Marine Corps pilot killed in a plane crash. Over several years, Byrne would prove herself a loyal Chicago Democrat and later caught the attention of Mayor Richard J. Daley. In a 2004 interview with WBEZ, Byrne recalled a cherished bit of political advice from the boss who became her mentor.
And you pretend the whole thing is a checkerboard. And you let this guy make his move, and then make the move over here, make another move over there, and then you go zoop, 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 king me.
Daley made Byrne the first woman to fill a city hall cabinet post. But after Daley died, she was fired by his successor, Mayor Michael Bolandic. That's when Byrne made her political move. She launched a mayoral campaign as a reformer, she said, against Bolandic and the machine that backed him, against corruption and favoritism, against a core of powerful insider aldermen, whom she derided as a cabal of evil men. But even her earliest supporters admit she was a long shot, until Mother Nature stepped in.
A devastating blizzard of winter that virtually strangled the city and left its citizens struggling to cope in over 20 inches of snow.
The snowstorms of 1978 and 79 paralyzed Chicago, and Mayor Bolandic's administration got blamed for the city's bungled response.
Side streets still unpassable. Public transportation snarled. Expressways buried. O'Hare Airport closed.
Bolandic went on to alienate many black voters when his administration ordered CTA trains to skip over stops in the inner city neighborhoods in order to get people to work in the loop faster. Byrne's camp looked at all this and saw a way to beat the machine.
Well, I would like to say it's because of the commercials I made about the snow.
Don Rose, who was Byrne's first campaign manager, quickly got his candidate in front of a camera outside to capture the drifting snowflakes gathering in her blonde cap of hair.
No one could stop the snow, but good planning can prevent the collapse of public transportation and clean this city up fast. I'm Jane Byrne, Commissioner
and
of Consumer Sales.
And I used to walk her through the subway stations and have her shaking hands and saying, don't blame your neighbors, it's Bolandic who did this to you.
It worked. Byrne's defeat of Bolandic in the Democratic primary was an early chink in the machine's armor, and she easily won the general election that spring. But once she actually moved into the fifth floor of City Hall, something changed. Ray Hanania covered her administration for the Southtown Economist newspaper.
Within 6 months, she flipped over, dumped reform, and for the next 3.5 years ran the city pretty much the way the machine ran the city.
Some of Byrne's early supporters in politics and in the press say they felt betrayed, especially when she tried to explain her new political alliance with the very alderman she campaigned against, that cabal of evil men.
Yes, but you see, you know, even the Lord said people change.
But the press corps wasn't laughing for long. The mayor developed a famously contentious relationship with reporters. At one point, Byrne tried to spite them by stuffing the cramped City Hall press room with extra desks, so many so that reporters didn't have room to sit down. Again, here's Ray Hanania.
I remember her chief of staff once said that following Jane Byrne was like following a B-52. She would drop bombs all over the place.
Decades later, Byrne would chalk up charges like that to what she said was one of her toughest challenges in office, sexism.
I think the City Hall reporters felt they had always covered Mayor Macho, and now they've got somebody in a pink suit in high heels, and it's not their cup of tea.
But for all the criticisms and nicknames, Calamity Jane and Ayatollah the Hen, Byrne took power during a tough time for Chicago. Chicago firefighters did a lot of chanting in early 1980 when they went on their first and only labor strike in city history. Byrne's tough talk didn't do her any favors with unions. She also faced strikes by Chicago teachers and CTA workers. Meanwhile, the city was grappling with well over 800 murders a year. So in the spring of 1981, Byrne pulled her most audacious PR move yet. She and her second husband moved into an apartment in the Cabrini-Green Public Housing Project to draw attention to the crime and poverty there.
We're going to make certain that these children grow up and they don't have to think of Cabrini-Green the way society has thought of Cabrini-Green.
That Easter, Byrne threw a carnival for Cabrini's kids and even led the crowd in an off-key rendition of Easter Parade.
I'll be all
But the first couple stayed at Cabrini only for a few weeks, all the while maintaining their luxury Gold Coast apartment. When the music stopped, her critics claimed the move was simply a stunt to grab national headlines. But it wasn't all bad press and labor strikes and crime. Byrne started Jazz Fest, brought in the taste of Chicago, and began to resuscitate Navy Pier. Karen Connor was Byrne's first director of special events.
We had street troubadours. We had people playing instruments and dancing in the L's and on the street corners, and we had festival after festival.
But the bread and circuses weren't enough to win Byrne re-election in 1983. She lost a three-way Democratic primary against the man who had been her lifelong political rival, Richard M. Daley, and the man who would become Chicago's first black mayor, Harold Washington. Byrne launched a few unsuccessful runs for public office in subsequent years, but largely stayed out of the public eye. Nowadays, her first campaign manager, Don Rose, says the caricature of Calamity Jane isn't fair.
She was far from a great mayor. She was not a good mayor, but I think she has been turned into, through media attacks and so on, into a very, very bad mayor. In fact, some academics once voted her the worst mayor Chicago ever had, which was absurd.
For her part, Byrne struck a conciliatory note when asked about her one term in office back in 2004 by WBEZ's Steve Edwards.
What do you want your legacy to be for this city?
I loved it and I tried.
Alex Keefe, WBEZ.
Great leader, her family could be greater. We're proud of her.